Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Lou, you and Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. Join us for Keeping It Brief, and then come back later that evening as we turn up the heat with The Art of Seduction. Thursdays are split between Inner Craft of Sun Art with Richard Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday, split with Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you Bad Company and Exploring Extrasia with Captain B2 and Daniel. If you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m. Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Take a Walk on the Wild Side Tuesdays, Sit in with Jeremy on Thursday as he brings you the headliner's ball. Break on through with Pam on Friday. And join Aphasiana and Babla on Saturday as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. And every other Sunday, join Robert M. as he brings you the solace of shadows. Check out the contest and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. And if you do SoundCloud, we welcome those as well. Good evening, Jean.
Hello, Rex. And how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm all right. How about you?
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you're doing well. I'm glad to hear that.
Well, good then. Well.
Sorry, I didn't mean to let go silent because my grandson came in to tell me a story. Late as you were saying, and how are you tonight? And I'm going, God. So what's going on? Oh, my God. Okay, you asked me how I was. I'm doing good. It was a crazy day. I'm crazier than always, you know. And, yeah, I can't say much else about that. Weather's still cold, you know, be cold. And, other than that, I can't say too much. Except for we do have Pam with us. So, hi, Pam. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hi, Jean. Hi, Rex.
Hey, hello.
What's new?
Not a whole lot. Got the same old boring life.
No, well, I think we can have it.
I don't know what to tell you. It's all good.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What,
so tell us about this show. Sorry?
All right. It's for Gary Rossington, who just passed. He was born December of 51. He just passed 2 weeks ago tonight on March 5th. So he was also the last remaining original member of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Wow.
Left standing. That's why I went with the last Street Survivor as the note for the, not as a note to one of the albums they put out, but also as the note to him himself. Early life, he was pretty much into baseball as a youth. In fact, he had aspirations of playing for the Yankees until somewhere in 1964. The Stones had one of their hits out, Time Is On My Side. And after one of the games he played in, was how he met Ronnie Van Zant and Bob Burns. They played on opposing teams, and one day after Van Zant hit a ball that hurt Burns, they went to his parents' house, and they set up their instruments in the carport, and they played Time Is On My Side, and thought they sounded real good, so they decided to form a band right then and there. At that point, Gary was 13. It was 1964. So their original thought, they named themselves the Noble Five, I think it was, and then turned into another name out of that. And by 69, they settled on Lynyrd Skynyrd as their moniker. Somewhere down the line, they did get an invite from The Who as an opening act, late 70-71, which kind of introduced them to the world to a bit. And Gary always said that Ronnie was kind of like the father figure for the group, because he taught them how to drive, and he taught them all those other little nitbits along the line, because Rossington grew up in a single parent household. His father was already dead. So he got to learn all those things, the 14, 15, and 16, that you might learn from your father, he got from Ronnie Van Zant, who was at that point, he was 14, Van Zant was 17. So he taught them all how to drive. But Gary Collins kind of joined them along the line around 69, and Larry Johnstrom as well. So they hit it big. Didn't know how hard they hit it big until after the album came out, and they got really big. Now, there's a lot of little bit tidbits, like the song we just opened up with, Give Me Back Your Bullets, Give Me Back My Bullets. They wrote that as a kind of a punchline to the Billboard Top 25, because they had a note that was a Billboard's Top 25 with a bullet. So they thought the whole thing was a little bit of a scam. So they wrote this, Give Me Back My Bullets. Don't take my power away from me. My power comes from the music that we put out, not what you think it should be. That was kind of punchline at the establishment. And they did that with a few other songs, like Sweet Home Alabama, with a kind of note to Neil Young's Southern Man. And there's a couple other songs we've got in here that kind of walk on the same angle or come from their experiences as members, considering by the time they hit it, you look right, 70, 71, when they started hitting it, hell, Collins was just barely 20 years old. Not Collins, that Rosenthal was barely 20 years old. He did it. His favorite guitar was a 1959 Les Paul. I believe that was a Starburst. And he actually boarded off a lady whose boyfriend walked out on her, leaving the guitar behind. And he named it Bernice after his mother.
Huh.
And that's, I think, what they do for a start.
Pretty cool. Always got some good tidbits for us, Rex. Always, always. How interesting. And Jenny says you're teaching her something. Lots of good info. So. So I guess I better do some work. Go find us something. Let's see. Okay, I got this. I'm ready. Not really, but I'm close. I'm close, I tell you, I'm close. Okay, the first song I'm going to put on is called Things Going On. And,
Have you ever felt that cold wind blow? Well, if you don't know what I mean, won't you stand up and scream? For that thing's going on that you don't know. Well, if you don't know what I mean, won't you stand up and scream? For that thing's going on you don't know.
From 1973, from the album pronounced Leonard Skinner.
Well, there we go. Nice. Okay, I'm going to the first piece of
a nice bluesy. It's a nice bluesy tone with a little bit of Muscle Shoals influence in the background.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a good sound to it. He kept you. All I can envision in my brain was a player piano. So, for some reason, you know. Okay, Rex, I'm going to have you lead us off with called Death in the Swampland by Guilty. So, whenever you're ready.
Death in the Swampland by Guilty. Here in the swampland where the owls are wise, stand perched in the trees, lest the gators take their lives. Me and my brother are running straight through to the other side. Master's dogs are snarling for a piece of our hides. Here in the swampland, midnight's killing time. Snakes are slithering invisible to moonlight. Yesterday's cool shade. Tomorrow's glass strides. Got to keep moving on. Keep the devil off our trail. They just keep grooving, especially one without a tail. Here in the swampland, it don't matter black or white. Cerberus keeps on coming. We'd be lucky to be back in jail. Heavy irons on our ankles, lead in our shins. Hangman surely coming, condemn us for our sins. Sin of being hungry, sin of being poor, sin of being imagination, or something more. Ain't no rich man's son, no plantation hand. Never took no whip to the back of any man. Working for a system that don't work for me. That sound like playing sheep, not a man born free. So I run through the swampland with my brother at my side. It don't matter if he is black or if I am born white, because master will divide us, two dogs fighting for a bone, while he will get fat and laugh, watching from his stately home. Maybe if the dogs catch us, the pups I done raise, perhaps they will say a prayer before laying us to waste. And poem. There's a blistering piece there. All right, Pam, what do you think?
All right. Well, first of all, great lead there, Rex. I thought this was an excellent story write. And although it was a story write, it definitely was based on a cruel reality that takes place throughout history. It had a wonderful flow of imagery, a really emotional tone and social commentary on the way that people are judged and condemned to death because of their social standing and those they choose to stand by. I really like this all the way through, but I particularly like how he refers to the dog as Cerberus, the dog that guards Hades. And I also like the lines, ain't no rich man's son, no plantation hand, never took no whip to the back of any man. Working for a system that don't work for me, that sound like playing sheep, not a man born free. I thought that was a great nod towards the song lyrics. And also the end stanza where it mentions that maybe if the dogs catch us, the pups I done raised. The idea that the dogs and people you were kind to and good to as youngins will turn on you because of who takes over their raising and who becomes their guardians. So excellent write and very well done.
Well said, Dan. Thank you. All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, I thought this was a great write by Guilty, and I have to say, I thought it was a great take on the prompt as well. The lines I picked, let go of them, get back and see them again. Here in the swampland, midnight's killing time. Snakes are slithering, invisible to moonlight. Yesterday's cool shade, tomorrow's last rite. Gotta keep moving, keep the devil off our trail. They just gotta keep grooving, especially the one with without a tail. Yeah, I like these descriptions in there, and I think they were well done. The whole story rite was great. I have to agree with everything that Pam said. I think that the imagery in it and the, we've all seen movies in there, so there's a little bit of relatability in it from what we have seen throughout the years, you know. But I think it's truly his own, and I think it was just an excellent job. So thanks, Guilty, for sharing with us. I liked it very much.
Absolutely. Guilty dug into the song real well because a lot of that song is based on Ronnie Van Zant dropping in some barbs against the political leanings back in, you're talking 50 years ago now. So the idea of giving back something to those political elitists who think they have a conjunctive note to ruling and how they treat people. Anyway, the swampland hits on a number of sorts you can walk within, from Florida and Georgia to Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. There's also swampland there, so it all hits on the same arena. I like that thought. Again, with the owls are wise, stand perched in the trees, lest the gators take their lives. Me and my brother running straight through to the other side. Master's dog is snarling for a piece of our hides. Again, a thought going back in time hits on that note of Southern Man from Neil Young and the bite back that they did with a Sweet Home Alabama. And I did like the thought of Cerberus, the three-headed dog. You might get in easily because Cerberus sleeps, but it's the getting out that you don't get, which is what Cerberus is there for. He'll let your butt in, but once you're in, you don't get out, which is a nice touch as well. And I did like this back end. So I run through the swampland with my brother at my side. It don't matter if he is black or if I am white, born white, because master will divide us, two dogs fighting for a bone, while he will get fat and laugh, watching from his stately home. That is a lot of notational thought. That's what's going on today. If you look at our lords and masters, the thought of division is how control is run. Because if you've got the populace biting at each other's heels and willing to take each other out, then they're not questioning what you were doing at the top of the heap. So nicely done, Guilty. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And for my next magic trick, I'm going to put up this piece by Jenny Hyde, 2017. And I have an audio for it. So, here it goes.
Evil will win if nothing changes. Look around you. What do you see? Mesmerized by society's ugliness. What's so ugly? How vain of me, you say? Wake up. Open your eyes. See the dismay. You may see a smiling child on a bench, assuming he's happy and okay, you walk on by, thinking what a beautiful day to rest. But the reality you cease to see is he is weak. He is a homeless child fighting not to die. Were you ever raised in a family struggling to stay warm, starving while their home is being foreclosed, too scared to ask for help, suffering silently? No? Then take another walk, stand up or shut up. Rich or poor, in the suburbs or in the ghetto, bad things are happening all over. If you don't know what it's like, then sit down and shut up. Most of us assume if one is homeless, drugs is what they want. No questions asked. No pity for him is to be made. No pity for anyone less fortunate. It's their own fault. Harsh society, jadedly claims. If you have a perfect life, then sit down and shut up. If all you have is apathy and no empathy, you don't deserve to speak. I can only hear and see villainous acts strike. Look at the violence, the hate crimes, the greed. Picture perfect people, some may look like. Look again. They are an evil, twisted scheme. Look around you before you scream. Not everything is what it seems. The evil spreading is increasing my paranoia. All of this evil is real, never to go away. Evil may win if nothing changes. I can see the good going astray. End poem.
Great read, Jen. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Gene, let's start with you.
Knew you were coming here first only because I was on hold. Anyway, Jenny, I think this was a great expression of thought here in this piece, and a fabulous take on the book. I thought it was really well written. I'm just trying to find a stanza that I want to pick out of the crowd. So bear with me for a second. I mean, there's so many because there's points made in every one of them. You may see a smiling child on a bench, assuming he's happy and okay as you walk on by, thinking what a beautiful day to rest. But the reality you see is no homeless, a child fighting not to die. And that's the truth, because so many times in this world, in this lifetime, throughout all all walks of life, people will look and they'll see somebody and they assume that everything's fine. You know, it's like the thing, be kind to people because you don't know what battles they're facing, unseen. And I know that's not the actual way it's stated, but it basically is the same. I mean, so many people walk past and just assume everything's peachy. They're nasty to people. They don't know what they're combating or fighting for or trying to get through. And so I think that's what I liked about this piece. It really does point things out to for everyone. It brings awareness. You know, whether they heat or not is another story, but it points out the awareness. And I think that was very well done. So thanks for sharing that. Nice work.
Nice. Thank you, Gene. All right, Pam, what do you think?
I really liked and appreciated this one. It was a strong write. I like how Jenny brings attention to the evil that's going on in the world, the people that are suffering, and the people who choose to be indifferent about that suffering by not only asking questions, but also by making statements. You know, it definitely was an excellent write on the indifference. And I think that's really what it focused on. But I really like what Gene had to say about, you know, not judging somebody because you don't know their situation. And that is so true. A great write all the way through. But I really like, you know, rich or poor, in the suburbs or in the ghetto, bad things are happening all over. If you don't know what it's like, then sit down and shut up. And then I can only hear and see villainous acts strike. Look at the violence, the hate crimes, the greed. Picture perfect people. Some may look again. They are an evil, twisted scheme. So the person you think is evil could turn out to be good, and the person you think is good can turn out to be evil. Well, excellent write and very well done.
Well said, ladies. Thank you. And I'll bite on that. The most important instrumentalized in this is that stand up or shut up. And it comes on the note of taking a little walk. If you have a perfect life, then sit down and shut up. That note to you don't deserve, you've got no skin in this game. You've got no reality to the situation which unfolds outside of your walls, expensive communities. So go, it hits on everybody from the social influences to the Hollywood weirdos to the politicians, everybody who's got armed guards around them and don't have to worry about nothing. And they're all saying, hey, listen to us. We know how to fix it. Bullshit. It's all lies. And it's time to wake up. Nicely done, Jenny. All right, Jenny. Put it back to you.
Okay. Well, Pam, I'm going to ask you to read this next one. And this is called Welcome to the Ghetto by Naomi Farah.
All right.
Thanks, Ben.
Welcome to the Ghetto by Naomi Farah. The throat of the ghetto is dry and coarse. Every lungful of hot hair robs more water from the body. Dehydration is never far away, and it's always a bloody long walk home to get a drink. Here, cold nights borrow body heat as if it were a cup of sugar, yet come the new light of day, it never returns with honeycomb. On the street, you're a walk-in, two smoke and barrel shot, 50 million fingerprints on the easy trigger, half of them generations old. It's the same slanging shit all day and all night, so get your swagger on and knock yourself out. It's always a prayer each step home. You're welcome to the sweet end of the Lower East End. Welcome to our hood. Enjoy the crazy merry-go-round of the hungers driven by cocktails of addiction to the soul-shattering acts just to get the merest bite. Wave to the Johnnies, Janes, and old Joes that sit in bottomless pits. Every time they throw a rope, the floor sinks a little lower, jolting their bodies to a dead stop. Take away your well-meant words, the songs that don't help, and the smiles that aren't real. Call it despair if you want, but here something fake hurts more than anything else. Stop telling folks how to dream their way out. Their heads are already boggled by screams, gunshots, where they'll find their next meal, and all the faces of the people who've only said no. And stop wondering how our thinking is so different from your own, so alien. Stop thinking we see the suffering and only choose to make it all the worse. Because until you haven't seen, then that tiny flicker of light and watched its dying ember, snuffed out by a screeching, icy howl, you don't know nothing, brother. You don't know nothing, sister. The only decorations is this in this hood are our own nail marks on all these walls we cannot scale. So welcome to the ghetto where blackness comes, so we watch ourselves being erased, where the only evidence of being is the thumping of our hearts and the chilled air in our lungs. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. Damn, that was a biter. This kind of walks back. A lot of people don't realize the ghetto's been around for a very long time. It was one of those arenas where you relegated certain criteria of folks. 400 or 500 years ago, the Jews were relegated to the ghettos. And then it just progressed from there to the next efficient use of planned urban sprawl, so to speak. Hey, and it becomes, hey, the Irish over here, the Italians over here, the blacks over here, the Mexicans and everybody else. Everybody gets separated into a touch of what it's like to understand ghetto and the borders that make up that ghetto. Hey, you don't ever go past this street because that belongs to this group. It's again, it's that separation of peoples based on ideology, skin color, orientation to religion or any other note of hatred that you can actually run into a deft political urn to make your brownie points with and hey, get into office to keep it rolling, because separation of peoples is what it's always been about. Why? Because if they're all on the same page, they're not on your page. So, a nice biting piece there, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, what about you? got to unmute first.
Yeah, right, exactly. I think this is an excellent piece by Naomi. I loved her intro stanza. I think it really grabs someone's, the reader's attention. Throat of the ghetto is dry and coarse. Every lungful of hot air robs more water from the body. Dehydration is never far away, and it's always a bloody long walk home to get a drink. Here, cold nights borrow body heat as if they were a cup of sugar. Yet come the new light of day, it never returns to honeycomb. I think those first two, the first one especially, were really, they really capture the attention. And it draws you straight into the rest of it, which each stanza was, I thought, wonderfully written. So excellent job, Naomi. I think you really did a great job with this piece. So much enjoyed. Thank you, Sam.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. Pam, you got to read it.
Yeah, it was, wow, it definitely hits hard. Brilliant imagery and metaphors, an emotive write on the poor and the suffering and how people judge them and think it should be so easy to get out of where they're at in life and, when they've never been in that situation themselves. And it's, I really like, as you said, the bite to this. All the way through, it's brilliant. I particularly like, and stop wondering how our thinking is so different from your own, so alien. Stop thinking we see the suffering and only choose to make it all the worse. Because until you haven't seen just that tiny flicker of light and watched its dying ember snuffed out by a screeching, icy howl, you don't know nothing, brother. You don't know nothing, sister. Amazing lines all the way through and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. All right, Jane, what have I got to you?
Yes. Okay, give me a second. I am so damn slow. Okay. There we go. Awesome. Okay. Now, for the next song I have to put up, I have, Simple Man, one of my favorites. So, let me hit that button. All right, let me try it again.
73 album, and as great as a lot of the other songs are, this is probably one of their better ones, because Gary and Ronnie wrote this as a kind of a memento mori. Gary's mother and Ronnie's grandmother had recently died around the same time, and this is what came of that little bit of grief, this kind of southern note to listening to your mother and your grandmothers and what they have to teach you and offer up as to how you should live your life.
Right. Amen. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Okay, well, the first piece that goes with that is called Become Born Again by Brother Jacob. I'm going to give that one a read. Okay. Yeah, I think it's my turn. I'll be used to that, guys. You want to how I can be. Become Born Again by Brother Jacob. A preacher told me, when I was lost, how Jesus hung on the rugged cross, and how he died for my sin, and how on the third day he rose again. Preacher said, young man, I was once like you. I once was dead, now I'm brand new. I was broken, I was torn, now I'm whole, I've become reborn. He said, young man, become born again. You can start over, please understand. He said, young man, become born again, for the Father has a better plan. He said, young man, become born again. You can start over, please understand. He said, young man, become born again, for the Father has a better plan. In life, there's troubles. Sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's sunshine. Sometimes there's rain. Life's not always easy, this I know. But just imagine if you lost your soul. He said, young man, become born again. You can start over. Please understand. He said, young man, become born again. For the Father has a better plan. He said, young man, become born again. You can start over. Please understand. He said, young man, become born again, for the Father has a better plan. I hit that altar. I bowed my knee. I said, Jesus, come live inside me. I rose up with a smile on my face, and I thank God for his amazing grace. And home.
Great reaching. Thank you very much. Pam, come on out.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Yeah, I thought this had a wonderful lyrical quality, and it was a great spiritual rite on the idea of having a transformation of the heart and a transformation of the spirit. I did like the ending and the nod towards the song and the concept of Amazing Grace, and also the lines, in life there's trouble, sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's sunshine, sometimes there's rain. Life's not always easy, this I know, but just imagine if you lost your soul. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Oh, thank you, Pam. And Jean, you got to read it. What about you?
You know, I liked the piece very much. I could kind of hear the tune playing in my head as I was reading it, although I couldn't make it work. I should have given this one to you, but I had another one lined up for you. Really, I should have, and I know that. But I said it was very well done, and I the message in it was good. Even though it was of a religious nature, it was still a great message, and it was well stated. And reaching out to someone in a way that's familiar, to some, the song itself. And I think that this is just a great piece and an intriguing take on the prompt. So great job and nicely done, Brother Jacob. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not easy offering up a note on this level without actually coming across as preachy, so to speak, or pushing something onto somebody. This comes off, it's very deliberate in its voice, and he worked with the song Simple Man. And he did an amazing job at playing off that note within the song about being a simple man and understanding the grace of God and everything else that their mother and grandmother would have shown them back in the day. And he's rolled it into an easy thought that works wonderfully with the, like you said, the tune in the background. Damn, he paid attention and hit on things that most people don't even bother thinking about it anymore. That thought of, where is it? For the Father has a better plan. There's a nice ringing note with that stanza. He said, young man, become born again. You can start over. Please understand. He said, young man, become born again. For the Father has a better plan. That has a nice ringing note as well as the working off that repeat chorus from the original notes. So, Brother Jacob, impressive piece. Thank you very much. All right, Jean. What if I could
do? How do you want me to do something? I almost forgot. I'm supposed to do something next. Only kidding. I just want to make sure I do what I'm supposed to do here, too. Otherwise, people will be mad at me. They'll talk about me anyway. I don't want to give them water ammo. Why not? Okay, there we go. Okay, so the next piece I'm going to put up, this is, I have a sound file for this, but life is good, I have an audio. Let me do this one. Okay. This piece is called Mona Lisa Mama by Eric Schoenfeld. And let me hit the button on that one.
Mona Lisa Mama. Boys to men know. Mamas are the X-file factor. better than Muller and Scully could ever be in the month of Sundays. Sweet pea, a smiling sunroom beams. Mama gives me that Mona Lisa look. Now, boys to men know that look. Is it a subtle smile, a smirk, or I know something you don't kind of look? Son, the person you marry one day will have to be very special. But why, Mama, I'm a simple man. Snap, crackle, and static pop of farm two-way radio cuts in. Mystery of Mona Lisa Mama face deepens. Sun, because scratchy, snap, crackle, and static pop sizzles impatience. October corn planting season hurries curry before then rain sets in. Sun, your papa needs you on the land. You make him very happy when you're farming with him. Boys to men know, papas appreciate sons and follow in their footsteps. Now leave that storybook yard, son. Go make your papa proud. Mama's homegrown sweet peas adorn the sunroom. Mona Lisa enigma ushers me through the kitchen out of the homestead. Sapphire eyes cream a billion suns. Boys to men never know if it's a subtle smile, a smirk, a silent reverie. A quirky quasar conundrum is what it is. Never told my mama, but personally, my instinct told me years later that all them uppity, crusty, rusty art critics got it all wrong. Mona Lisa is a self-portrait of Leonardo da Vinci himself. But what boys to men know for certain is that mamas are the X-file factor. Better than Muller and Scully could ever be in a month of Sundays.
Great read, Eric. Thank you for the sound card. It is very much appreciated. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, this is great. I love the imagery in it, the metaphors. He's always so creative with his word choicing and his imagery. Wonderful take off the prompt. I like how this speaks on the idea of growing up and learning from the passed along wisdom of a mother, and then also learning to become your own man, think for yourself, but at the same time learn from the past. I really like where it says, son, the person you marry one day will have to be very special, but why, mama, I'm a simple man. And then where it says also, Mama's homegrown sweet peas adorn the sunroom. Mona Lisa enigma ushers me through the kitchen out of the homestead. Sapphire eyes beam a billion suns. I like how that connects the idea of how oftentimes that good memories, those loving memories are connected with the kitchen and time spent in it together. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Dan. All right, Jean, how about you? You got to unmute first.
I do. God, I'm so busy typing. I don't want everybody to hear me typing through everybody's read. you know, I found this to be pretty intriguing because it started out, boys to men know mamas are the X-Files factor, better than Muller and Scully could ever be in a month of Sundays. Okay, let me catch up here. And by the time I was mulling that around, I was behind on the read. But, you know, I like when it got down here. Son, the person you marry one day will have to be very special. But why, Mama? I'm a simple man. And all of a sudden, snap, crackle, and static pop of farm two-way radio cuts in. Mystery of Mona Lisa Mama's face deepens. Son, because scratchy, snap, crackle, and static pop. Of course, you know, you're trying to have a conversation with somebody, and that's what all hell breaks. Or the confusion starts, or the interruptions begin. And, you know, I thought that was an intriguing way to get into this. And then it says, son, your papa needs you on the land. He makes him very happy when you're farming with him. Boys to men know papa appreciates sons and follow in your footsteps. Now leave that story book here, son. Don't make your papa proud. I'm like, wow, that conversation just fell short. And it's not unusual from the real life that I live in anyway. You know, people always redirect in conversations. But it is clever. And when it got down here about, you know, his, never told mama, but personally my instinct told me years later that all them uppity, crusty, rusty art critics got it all wrong. Mona Lisa is a self-portrait of Leonardo da Vinci himself. And I went, okay, Eric, you go, fella, go. He's always got some kind of a wonderful story and way of writing to the prompts, and I appreciate that. So well done, and thank you, Eric. It was a pleasure, as always. Clever stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does. And you're right, because he drops low in you. You've got Boys to Men, you got The X-Files, you've got Leonardo, and the thoughts of following in one's footsteps, and the other angle of being careful of what you bite into, because there is that note, the mama's on the X-Files factor, and then offering, is that a subtle smile, a smirk, or I know something you don't kind of look? That questioning note that men don't seem to really understand or ever get, because it works out to be something of another sort, which they didn't bother thinking of. And then the, son, your papa needs you on the land. You make him very happy when you're farming with him. Is that how you're following the father's footsteps? And also learning that note from the mother from the out yet, but also getting into the fields and understanding where life really comes from, the earth. Now, the Mona Lisa is a self-portrait of Leonardo da Vinci himself. That's been going around for, God, must be at least 40, 50 years on that thought, and I'll agree with it. It matches up the way Da Vinci hit a lot of things in his painting. So not everything is as it seems. It's the gist right there. And again, that thought, X-Files factor. Yes, you need the mothers in the home with the kids. X-Files factor, that note to, there's something you got to learn on that note for the initial few years of growing. And then there's that gravitation between girls to mothers and boys to fathers, as I know, getting a little bit more of the learning curve. So nicely done, Eric. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okay, Rex. I believe it is your turn.
Okay.
Let me see. Yes, that was Pam. That was me. Yeah, this one's you. Just making sure. Okay, this one is Simple Life by Eric Hirsch. So whenever you're ready.
Simple Life by Eric Hirsch. When I was young, my father told me to be strong. He said that men don't cry, that we each have our own lullaby. He claimed to be rough and never wrong. What do I do when I feel I don't belong? What can I say when I know this world's a bell that rings the devil's prong? Sin runs rampant, wild and free, so what kind of man is okay living with no melody? My father told me to stay strong. What can I say? What can I do? Nothing is wrong. Even my left becomes east, my right becomes west. Father tells me, mother explains, How can a man be simple when this world is nothing but pain? Give into the light or become one with the curse. Fade into night or wake up in a hearse. I've tried held my head up instead of crying. Be a simple man or a strong one. Be a weak man or a kind man. No, I will be a man, vulnerable but courageous, self-righteous but humble. There is no simple man in an advanced world. There is only truth of what it means to live. My father told me that I would walk the devil's trot. So be it. I'd rather not be the one living droughts. My father told me to be a simple man. He told me to follow a plan. I say that there is no right answer. A weak man can be strong in the light. A coward can still never answer the devil's plight. A soldier can cry but still stand tall against the tide. Simple plan for a simple man? No. I will live as I can. I will love as I will. I will cry when I see fit. And I will laugh as I can, because I am not a simple man. And Paul. All right, Gene, let's start with you.
I was looking at this, you know, and I think that it was a nice mirror to the song itself. You know, and I have to say, I say that there is no right answer. A weak man can be strong in the light. A coward can still never answer the devil's plight. A soldier can cry, but stand tall against the tide. Simple plan for a simple man? No. I will live as I can. I will love as I will. I will cry when I see fit. And I will laugh as I can, because I am not a simple man. You know, it was a great mirror of the actual song. And it was definitely kind of not what I was expecting. Because, you know, I get kind of sappy when I hear that song. So I guess I always think people are going to lean towards that side of things. I do. I have actually cried many, many times when that song has been on. Because as a mother, you always want your son to understand. You want your daughters to as well. But, you know, you always want to pass that message of that song onto your children, you know, your boys, so they can kind of make it, you know, it's easier. It's easier to digest. In that form and fashion, because life's not easy, and it's not easy for a man or a woman. Men have to know how to cope with that craziness, you know, because they got to deal with women on top of it. Nothing personal, girls, but, you know, we all know, if we're being honest, we can be tough. So, when I saw this, I was like, ooh. But it was well said, and it was well expressed throughout. So, you know, it was a good take. So great job, Eric, and enjoyable piece.
Thank you, Gene. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Well, I have to say it's really good to see Eric Hirsch again and to see him writing. I was glad that he was inspired for this show. I thought it was a great take on the prompt, the way he flipped it on its head and spoke on the idea of getting advice from a parent and learning that that advice does not work for you. It was a powerful and emotive write on the whole idea of how men are supposed to hold in their emotions, you know, like that the only manly emotion that you're supposed to, you know, show is anger, but learning that you can be a strong man, you know, and at the same time, cry those tears. At the same time, be afraid, but stand up against that fear. Wonderful ending stanza. But I also like the questions. Be a simple man or a strong one. Be a weak man or a kind man. No, I will be a man, vulnerable but courageous, self-righteous but humble. There's no simple man in an advanced world. There's only the truth of what it means to live. Great lines and very well done.
Oh, thank you, lady. I'm going to say he already had a leg up when he got to this point in life. That the last line of that first stanza, what can I say when I know this world's a bell that rings to the devil's throng? So he's already got a leg up because of how he was brought up. And you're right, Pam. This does walk that note of the difference in generations and how it did work for then because at the time it was a little bit more simpler, but now it's more complicated and you have to make adjustments. So he ran with that level too. Because sin runs rampant, wild and free. So what kind of man is okay living with no melody? My father told me to stay strong. What can I say? What can I do? Nothing is wrong. And there's that note of too much embellishment where you can say something that is obviously wrong, but all of a sudden it becomes mainstream as it's right. It's right. Hey, men can get pregnant. They can have periods too. Yeah, as long as you ignore the fact that biology and science is opposite. But that's just something else. But it runs along the same line. If you say something long enough, hard enough, with a large enough voice, it becomes truth, no matter how big the lie is. And that hurts in the long run. So I like the fact that coming out strong with that first understanding, the world's bell that rings the devil's song, was a great opening touch. And it stood the note running through this, because there did need to be a little bit more of a change because of the world that he was growing up in, as opposed to the world that his father did grow up in. So, well done, Eric. Thank you very much.
Okay. And Pam, that brings me to you for our next letter. It is called Trust Me, Dear, by Blue Wright 76.
Trust Me, Dear, by Blue Wright 76. Trust me, oh dear, trust me. What you see is what I am. When I say I hate that neighbor of mine who is a tough one to befriend with his critical taste, I didn't mean him, but not you, my friend. Trust me, oh dear, trust me. What you hear is not just words. When I say I am hungry, let's go for a snack, it means that I want to take you out, because I know you will say, nah, if I say it's for you. I came all the way to see you smile, but not the frown, dear, dear. Trust me, oh dear, trust me. I can't think straight, and when I am sad and tired, I make a dictionary of my days apart, not for you to dissect it, sharing my mantra. Poor me, never one to dissect it before I present my case. What you see is what you get. I don't have doubts within, nor do I want to be apart. I am a simple one, dear. Don't do math with me. There's not to equate and solve. Try to keep you happy, dear, but it's in my hands. But it's not in my hands. Nope, it's for sure not in my hands. End poem.
Great read, Ben. Thank you very much. And Jean, why don't you start us off, please?
Well, let me see. You know, I thought this was a great write. Lots of expressed points. Me, oh dear, trust me. What you see is what I am. When I say I hate that neighbor of mine, he is a tough one to befriend with his critical taste. I did mean him, but not you, my friend. That was kind of a something stated and then needing to be reassured that, no, I'm not talking about you, which kind of, I would go, do you really mean me? That would be me. You know, and then it's, trust me, oh dear, trust me, what you hear is not just words. When I say I'm hungry, let's go for a snack, it means I want to take you out because I know you will say nah if I say it's for you. It's interesting, but, you know, it all comes down to the end where it says, you know, I'm a simple, where is it? God, I lost it. Oh, I am a simple one, dear. Don't you match with me. It's not to equal and solve. So I think it was just a well-put-together piece, and it comes in from a whole different direction, which is always good. I like that. I did like it, and thank you for sharing with us. Absolutely. Great thought.
Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, you got to read. How about you?
Yeah, I really liked this one. I like how it speaks. It was an intriguing take on the prompt. Wonderful imagery and metaphors. Speaks on the way of wanting to make someone happy, but realizing that their happiness is up to them and not to you. I did like how that ending especially expressed that idea. And the repetitiveness of trust me, oh dear, trust me, worked well. And I liked how there's a kind of a slight bit of humor in it. I am hungry. When I say I am hungry, let's go for a snack, it means I want to take you out because I know you will say, nah, if I say it's for you. I came all the way to see you smile, not the frown, dear, dear. And then the part that pointed out with the, you know, I'm a simple man. Don't try to do math with me. Yeah, I feel like that should be my line I tell everybody. I'm a simple woman. Don't try to do math with me, you know, because I just like it. So excellent right on wanting to make each other happy, but also trying to understand each other. So very well done.
Thank you, ladies. You're right. I did like that second one. I'm hungry. Let's go for a snack. It means that I want to take you out because I know you will say nah. If I say it for you, I came all the way to see you smile. But not the frown, dear, dear. There is a note of understanding, taking someone out. Whether it's their initial meeting or they're trying to get together, it hits on that idea of I'm offering up the simplicity of me in the moment. You take me as you see me because I speak my mind. It might not be something you enjoy at the moment, but you get what you get with that note. There's a thing. I can't think straight when I am sad and tired. I make a dictionary of my days apart, not for you to dissect it. Sharing my mantra, poor me, never want to dissect it before I present my case. So don't argue with me over something that I haven't even offered up a thought to. Because I'm simple in my flavors and tastes, and we can discuss that when I actually present my thoughts to you, rather than you dissecting it before I even get to that point. And the back end of this, but it's not in my hands. Nope, it's not. It's for sure not in my hands. I can hold the note to making you happy, but I can't keep you happy if you refuse to be happy. So it all takes down to two people have to work at it. And there should be a little bit of grace of godly tones and all that. Nicely done there, Blue. Thank you. All right, Jean. We're back at you.
The next piece I'm going to play is One More Time. So here we go.
Seems to make you happy when you've hurt someone.
that was off the Street Survivors album, was written a couple of years before that. And the lineup was different. They did this as a demo at Muscle Shoals, and Rossington was joined with Ed King, Ricky Medlock, and Greg Walker instead of the regular bandmates, the Steve Gaines, Arnold Pyle, and Leon Wilkerson.
Always interesting stuff. Okay, guys, I'm going to put up the next piece, and this one's by Damn It Dave. It's called One More Time. And I think I'm going to give this one a week. I got something else. Wait, correct. Yes, I did. Okay, One More Time by Damn It Dave. You've hurt me till my heart now bears a scar, the wound I now believe will never heal. But as I sit and strum on my guitar, I can't deny the passion I still feel. To love you, I'll endure most anything. I know there is no reason or no rhyme. I beg you, don't take off your wedding ring. Please stay, my love, and hurt me one more time. My friends all wonder why I stay with you. They'll never understand your magic spell. For after everything you've put me through, I still can't stand to bid our love farewell. To love you, I'll endure most anything. I know there is no reason nor no rhyme. I beg you, don't take off your wedding ring. Please stay, my love, and hurt me one more time. The pain you cause is such sweet misery. Please understand I love you more each day. My passion has complete control of me. I ache to think that you might go away. To love you, I'll endure most anything. I know there is no reason or no rhyme. I beg you, don't take off your wedding ring. Please stay, my love, and hurt me one more time. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
Hi, well, this is... Yeah, this is great. Wonderful song lyrics, great rhyme and flow. Wonderful take on the prompt. I thought it was a beautiful and heartfelt write on the idea of not being able to let someone go, and the idea that you'd rather be in a relationship with a person who hurt you than being completely alone. And I like the mention of the, you know, don't take off the wedding, your wedding ring, because, you know, that gives a nod towards the idea that it's a marriage that he doesn't, that you know, the character doesn't want to end. I also really like, friends all wonder why I stay with you. They'll never understand your magic spell. For after everything you've been, put me through, I still can't stand to bid our love farewell. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Ian. And Jean, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I thought that these were great lyrics by Dave. An excellent take on the chosen prompt. And, you know, I'm with Pam. I like that chorus. You know, to love you, I'll endure most anything. I know there is no reason or no rhyme. I beg you, don't take off your wedding ring. Please stay, my love, and hurt me one more time. It's like, you know, you hate to see it end. I don't want it to end. I'd rather have it be painful than not there. You know, that's that little bit of a comfort level that, you know, you hate to be without. Kind of crazy, but true. So excellent job, Dave. Great rhyme, great, you know, rhythm, great rhyme. Yeah, as always, you know, I feel like it's kind of redundant when I say that. But I did like this piece very much. So well done. Thanks for sharing.
Well, thank you, Gene. I'm going to walk on happier notes because what you said, rip the Band-Aid off and be done with it right now. Yes, that's where this is coming from. This is after it's all said and done. He's in the studio laying out the music to explain that period and how he feels. It's got that kind of a country feel to it, but it's a little bit more in-depth. And still can't get her out of his head. So that's what this is. A kind of a way to exercise the pain and the strife gone through on the back end of things. So well done, Dave. All right, Jean. I guess we're back to you.
Okie dokie 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 dokie. Let me see what's okay. Yes, I did have something lined up. You know, sometimes a little slow recognizing, but it is. Okay, right. So the next piece I have for you is called I'm Missing You by Lawrence, 67.
Okay. What? There it is. I'm Missing You by Lawrence, 67. I woke up today missing you, said you were leaving and going far away because you couldn't take it another day. So I wake up alone and no one here to say that I missed that sweet smile. How your dimples would light up the room right before those luscious lips turned me to me and say, where were you last night? What were you doing? Why didn't you call? What's wrong with you? Are you stupid? Dumbass piece of shit, I had to leave you. Yes, I miss how the veins almost pop out of your head when you're cussing me out and making me sleep on the couch. How your arm and fingers tense up as you point at my chest, trying to make me do something I shouldn't, instead of shooting call the cops and have me arrested. Yes, I miss all those traits about you. Not, but the worst thing is, you say you're giving me another chance. Jeez, wheeze, Louise. And boom.
Okay.
All right. He didn't give us the usual Alfie and Nigel, but still hit the mark. All right, Gene.
Well, you know, I think it was a good right to the prompt. You know, that kind of, I miss all these wonderful not, you know, things about you. One more time, you know, you're going to give me a second chance. So here we are. We're going to do it one more time. Here we go again. You know, I don't know. I thought it was clever. It was funny. It was humorous, as all Lawrence 67's pieces are. So nice work, Lawrence, and thanks for sharing. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Gene. All right, Pam.
Yeah, this is great. I think this definitely is he actually really was on prompt and yet still offered up his some really biting humor in this. I really like the sarcasm in the last line. Yes, I miss all those traits about you. Not, but the worst thing is you say you're giving me another chance. Geez whiz, Louise. I thought it was just wonderful humor and an excellent write on the idea of being played by someone who blames you for their problems. So excellent write and very well done.
This was, it did hit mark in humor, especially those last couple lines. But that middle end of all the questions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then calling me a dumbass piece of shit, I ought to leave you. And then you get to the back end of this. But the worst thing is, you say you're giving me enough chance. Jeez whiz, Louise, that idea of is it a threat or a promise? Well, you just woke up to it, so it's both a threat and a promise.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I will kill you in my own terms.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where would you like to go next?
Okay, the next song I'm going to put up is called One Good Man. So here we go.
Yeah.
that was off the Rossington Collins Band debut album, 1980. And that co-writer Dale Krantz was the lead singer, belting out a kind of a Janis Joplin wail.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pam, I'm going to ask you to read the piece for this. It's called One Good Man by Stellina.
All right. One Good Man by Stellina. Love me in the morning and again before we sleep. Cradle me in your arms when sadness makes me weep. Feel you against me on the sofa near the fire, looking at me hungrily, your eyes brimming with desire. Take my hand in yours as we walk a country lane. Soothe me in a fever and kiss away my pain. When you make love to me, all your fantasies confess. Tell me how to please you, your passion to caress. As we grow old together, never lose that charm and grace, and let me still feel butterflies as I look upon your face. Though gray hairs may appear and lines of life, let me be your only solace, your devoted, cherished wife. I've been searching all my life to find me one good man. Then earth would become my heaven the moment our journey began. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, kick us off.
Wait, let's try it this way. I think this is a sweet piece by Stellina. You know, I'm so used to her pieces being so more on a serious note and not kind of like a romantic lovey-dovey kind of concept. And I shouldn't say lovey-dovey because that's not really what this is. But it is a romance, and it's a short piece, which is even nicer, you know, because it's just a little something different once in a while. And I love it, and I think that she did a great job. Let me be your only solace, your devoted, cherished wife. I've been searching all my life to find me one good man, that earth would become my heaven the moment our journey began. This really a loving and sweet piece. So excellent job, Stellina. I really like this. I like your style. I like the thoughts in it. And yeah, as always, your rhyme is excellent. So you know, that's never a surprise to me. But definitely, definitely well done.
Oh, thank you, Jean. And Pam, what about you?
Yeah, this is a beautiful, heartfelt write. Great rhyme and flow. I like how it speaks on the idea of finding love and starting that journey together that you see lasting, that you see yourself growing old with this person, you know. And I really like that it's also about finding someone that you trust to comfort you and to soothe you in times of need. Soothe me in a fever and kiss away my pain. When you make love to me, all your fantasies confess. Tell me how to please you, your passion to caress. And then that ending, too, was beautiful. Though gray hairs may appear in lines of life, let me be your only solace, your devoted, cherished wife. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Wow, thank you very much, man. Yes, you did fit this this idea with One Good Man, but the song itself, but I think it walks again in another song as well. We've got to look at it as a mirrored effect. Instead of simple man, simple woman. But she's laid out all the same thoughts that go into the simple man. She's laid it out the same way with simple woman. Take my hand in yours and walk a country lane. Soothe me in a fever, kiss away my pain. We grow all together and never lose that charm and grace. Let me still feel butterflies as they look upon your face. Now, I think she had two songs in mind here, but played off the one because she wanted to give off that note. Well, yeah. Although it really could have worked on the other angle too as a simple woman. So nicely done, Stellina.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jean, we're back on you.
I knew it. Okay.
Where?
Yeah. Whatever. Okay. What's your name? All of a sudden it got quiet on my end. I thought everybody was on mute before I was gone, whichever. Okay, so I have a poem for this, and it's by Betty Page. And it's called, What's Your Name, Sweetie? And I am going, I'm going to hit that button, and we're going to hear this audio.
What's your name, sweetie? Well, it's 3 o'clock on Sunset Boulevard. Must find my sexy driver a match or take me to your show. Let's go. I've been making plans for loving you tonight. I'll be your sugar queen and I know you can treat me right. What's your name, sweetie boy? What's your name? Kissing you sweet, sweetie boy, won't you play my game? Back at his hotel, he's got up in my dress. Yes, he just could not resist. His wicked ways got me saying, hell yes. Well, his mammoth said, we can't screw in this car. Such a shame. So come on upstairs, boy. Taste my pretty pink champagne. What's your name, sweetie boy? What's your name? Kissing you sweet, sweetie boy, hell, let's have no shame. What's your name, sweetie boy? What's your name? Kissing you sweet, sweetie boy, won't you play my game? Hell yes. What's your name, sweetie boy? What's your name? Kissing me sweet, sweetie boy, won't you play my game? 5 o'clock on Tuesday, I'm so ready to go. I've got thousands of miles to ride, gotta play more shows. Oh no. Can I get you a limo home? Love sure was grand. When I come back here, it's clear I wanna see you again. What was your name? Sweetie boy, what's your name? Kissing you sweet, sweetie boy, hell, let's have no shame. What's your name, sweetie boy, what's your name? Kissing you sweet, sweetie boy, come, let's do the same. Ooh, yes. End poem.
Great read, Betty. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Pam.
Oh, yeah, this was great. It was a wonderful parody, fun and sexy, spot on, a great take off of the prompt. I like how she told it from a female perspective, a wonderful performance. I really liked how she rocked the vibe of the song, and the chorus was great, and the ending with the ooh and the yeah. And the other, I also really liked back at his hotel, he got up in my dress. Yes, he just could not resist. His wicked ways got me saying, hell yes. Awesome lines and very well done.
And Jean, how about you?
Oh, you know, I thought Betty did a great job with this. You know, I love when she sings her work or she reads her work because it's so her. I mean, I couldn't carry a tune like that. And you would sound kind of silly, but singing Sweetie Boy. So when Betty does it, it works because it's the way it's supposed to be. You know, and I loved her chorus in this because it really suited the prompt. Not that the other the stanzas here were not well done, but when she sang the chorus, I was like, yep, wonderful job. So, you know, the chorus is very just, you know, the slightest bit towards the end of each one. But, you know, when she's saying, what's your name, sweetie boy? What's your name? Kissing you sweet, sweetie boy. Hell, let's have no shame. You know, I just think that it's a great job by Betty. And I want to thank you for sharing, Betty. That was a great addition to the show, for real. I liked it very much.
Thank you. Well, we just heard One Good Man from Roxanne and Collins with Dale Krantz singing. I think this would have been a nice setup for her to do the very same thing and offer up that lilting Janis Joplin notable voice with this as the tune to play on. Nicely done, Betty.
Okay, and last but never least, we have a song. Which is Freebird. Almost read it wrong. And I'm going to play that piece, and then we have a final poem. So here goes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, Rex. I have the last one for you.
All right.
I didn't realize it was going to run that long. I mean, I knew it was long, but I didn't know it was that long. So, well, I don't know. I thought I started early enough. Anyway, this is called The Distance by JEG325. So, if you'd be so kind, that would be awesome.
There he is. The Distance by JEG325. On the south side of Chicago, along about a quarter to three, an angry person waves a gun, yelling, "Love doesn't come for free." The train rolls along its track, whistle echoing a lonely song. Six shots, one more man dies, white boxcars come along. Through the American heartland, towns little more than ghosts. Nothing hits dreams upon, only old shells of rotten posts. Across the northern badlands, spirits dancing amid dry dust. It seems even our locomotive isn't immune to immoral rust. Seattle bound, we never stop. What else can iron wheels do? Another day, 1,000 miles, the distance from me to you. And poem. All right, Pam.
Pam had to press. Sorry.
Oh, yes, then I guess it's you.
I guess it's me. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I really like this piece by Jack. Very well done, very well written. You know, I love the metaphor of the train. The train rolls along its track, whistle echoing, a lonely song. Six shots. And then I got to tune in my eyeballs. One more man dies while boxcars bump along. Through the American heartland towns grow little more than ghosts. Nothing to hit dreams upon. Only old shells of rotten hosts. It just is a very solemn piece.
Yeah.
And well written. So thank you, Jake, for sharing with us. And it was a great take on the prompt, for real. Just really nicely done. And thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah, it does hit that note with that opening stanza of the South Side Chicago. It's a mean territory. And the idea of taking that train out of state and riding what amounts, I guess, about 1,600 miles west to Seattle, you get to see a lot, you get to muddle over a lot, and maybe what you see isn't sweeter than what you've left. So there's that idea that rolls the back end of this, the distance that comes between two people as one takes either a job or maybe a call to school. And you're outside of familiar territory for the first time. So nicely done, Jack. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, we're on the back end of things.
Okay, well, really, you're close. We've read all the pieces tonight. We have paired the board. And, so great show, Rex. Great prompts. Well done. Great poetry, everybody. Thanks for sharing. And thank you, Pam, for hanging with us. So it's all on you now.
Yes, well, that's a great show, Dean. And thank you for stopping in, Pam, to help us read and comment. And Jen and I've forgotten who else is on the board. Bloody hell. My apologies.
Betty.
Yes, I saw Betty, yes. Thank you for the board, gals. Much appreciated. Come back and see us again next week. We're going to dip into TV music. That led TV shows. So that would be a howl. I got some good ones lined up.
That's right.
I want to do bad things with you. Woke up this morning, got yourself a gun.
Yep. That is the devilish rights for that one, I'm sure. Anyway, that'd be great. Looking forward to it. Okay, Rex. Well, I guess we will hear you tomorrow night. Lou, you Wild Doves, 10 o'clock tomorrow night till 12, and then we have After Midnight with Rex and Pam. After Midnight with that Rex and Pam. That's the title. excellent night tonight. And thanks, Rex, as always. Great job. Okay, talk soon.
Good night, gang. See you next week.
Good night, everybody. Yep.